Okay? Yeah, it's a Father's Day. Lots of traveling, lots of visiting. So glad that we can be here to worship God. It's not how many people here that come. It's that who are we and why we are here for that really come. Today we're going to talk about the sermon title is, if it popping up, or from different angle. Oh, it should be the title is A Spiritual Face of a Father. Spiritual Face of a Father. First, happy Father Day. Here, I guess I'm the father. But there's lots of father is serving today or doing the worship. It's really good. I found a postcard particular for this event. It's talk about a great father give their children a strong foundation so they can be the best they can be. So it's a great father give the foundation, a strong foundation so they can be what they want to be. So today we're going to talk about this great foundation. What is it and what it's based on? But before that, right, we are singing the hymn, and during the last, couple sermons, there's a particular one, is talking about a storm in the life. And give the children a good foundation that is prepared for the future living. And sometimes life is not always smooth. And bumper to bumper, now and here, and sometimes you have to persevere or you have to endure. And that's not easy. So Pastor Phil delivered a message talking about who do you trust? Who should you put your faith? And it's talking about that Jesus was in a boat and there's a wave popping up and almost, right, overthrown the boat. And Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And later, the disciple kind of woke Jesus up and say, "Hey, Jesus, won't you save us? We are almost, drunk right now." So Jesus just raised his hand, right, and say, "Calm, peace," right? And the storm just coming down and just so peaceful. And when I was listening to this, right, it brought my memory back many years. And I'm going to share a song with you. And there's also a Chinese character. But that's a song, right, when I was very young, and I have this song. It said, "With Jesus in my boat, with Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm." Smile in a storm, smile in a storm. So you can see it's very childish, right? But somehow this particular song, right, bear within my heart. So many years, probably 40, 50 years, more than that. But somehow this, right, is really rooted in me. So it become one of my foundation. And you keep going, right? You say, "I'm sailing right now, sailing right now, sailing, go back to home." And the lyric is a little bit different. When I was singing that, right, I kind of changed it. That when I'm sailing ahead. So I'm not going home. As a matter of fact, at that time I was sailing ahead. Every child, right, have a different destiny. And there is a particular path, right, God has set up for him or her. And sometimes, right, parents really have no influence on this path alone. And somehow, right, gradually, right, this, no matter what kind of impact or influence or you try to, do for this kid, it just won't work. And sometimes the more effort you put into it, became the opposite effect. You've driven it out. So sometimes, right, when kids is really alone, and all the father, all the mother, all the parents, sometimes in their heart, they have to count on someone. So today, this is particularly, we're going to talk about a passage about the spiritual face of a father, which is really, you know, applied to all the parent and all the parent-to-be. And that's why we want to talk about it. And this is, there's a brother. He particularly, right, talk about this. One day, he received the best birthday gift ever. He got a daughter in his birthday. Same birthday. Naturally born. And it's very close to Father's Day. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like you deliver on Monday and then Sunday, right? It's a Father's Day. So it's kind of a double blessing there. So one year he set it up this particular birthday cake. Say happy birthday to, you know, Tiff and Daddy, right? So daughter is a blessing to him. Particular meaning of blessing, a true blessing. So, and he shared this with me. He said he received this call, particularly from his daughter. He said, so lucky to have you for a father, and so grateful for you do and all you are. Happy birthday. So this probably is the best, you know, father can ever receive on this particular one. But this is a printing, right? It's not handwriting, but it's handpicked, particularly, right, to express whatever his daughter wants to say to him. And here come the written word, which is hard to read, but it basically says, dear daddy, happy birthday to all of us, because there's a, she married, and her husband also had a very close birthday nearby. So we say, happy birthday to all of us, and happy early Father's Day to you. Very simple, right? But that's generally, right, a father could ever receive, could ever expect it, right, from the daughter of his really treasure. And as a matter of fact, right, later on, when you have your own family, when you raise your own kids, right, when you spend all the effort, right, and all the worry night for them, and this is probably the best you can receive. So that's, it's a Father's Day, right? And we're going to talk about a particular one. The face, right, is kind of going there. It said, don't be afraid. Just believe, and your daughter will be safe. Very interesting. Maybe it's a little bit improper, but this is kind exactly right, the verse we're going to study today. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And you can underscore it, fill it in, will be safe. So whatever your burden is today, we're going to lay it on the altar. Let the God to look at it and, you know, analyze it and help us out. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And whatever will be safe. That's it, today's end. So faith, right? Faith. We talk about it all the time. Don't you have faith, right? And it's so frequently, right, popping up in the Bible. So what is faith? His faith is that you walking along on a dangerous, isolated road, and you have faith in God, you will pass this valley. Is that faith? Or you believe in that whatever suffering, whatever all the difficulty right now, it will pass soon. And the sunny day will come. For sure. You kind of wrap it up, the wallpaper, right, and you turn into the other day. Is that the faith? No, you have to ask yourself. But we can go into the opposite way to talk about it. is face up, right? You can feel the brain. Is faith a superstition? A magic? Black magic? You pop it up saying, God, I have faith in you. And everything going to go in smooth? Is that the faith of your definition? Or faith is kind of blindness, is it? Denial the reality face there? Is that how your faith based on? It seems to me there's no hope, right? But because I have faith in God, so whatever happened is not real. Is that the faith? Or is that a feeling, positive feeling, a sensation, right? Or maybe a little bit kind of like a spiritual drug or whatever medication, that you have this faith to God and everything going to go in smooth. Is that the faith? Or is it pretension? Right? You just fall in the power and you say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, right? I kind of like, you know, convince yourself. You have a better life. Is that the faith? Or is a faith is a bet? It's a gambling, right? Because things is out of your control. And you have faith, right? And it's just up in the air, right? To swing the fortune ball as a last resort. And maybe you hit something high. Is that faith about? According to the Bible, right, the definition, right, of the faith, there's an impotency. Is that without faith, right, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. And it seems like right here, if we take it out of the context, there's an object. Faith is to God, on God, right? But there's a particular purpose here, right? The faith is to please God. Remember this? Not please ourselves, no. According to this verse, no. It's pleasing God. It's not pleasing ourselves. And he say, whoever really approaching God, you have to believe who God is. So number one is that who God is to us, to you, to them. And why you want to approach God. What's the purpose? Right? Are you thinking he's going to reward you? Award your diligence seeking him? Maybe. Because that's what the verb literally says, right? But the key is that this is the key. The faith is the key, right? A mean of communication. If you lack in it, it's almost like we are talking about the soil, spiritual soil. It has different results. You can keep on listening, keep on reading, keep on observing, but somehow it has no effect. Somehow your faith, right, with it or without it, make no difference. How could it be? I have faith. I have faith. How come it's not benefit me? So what's going on? In the Bible, there are three, the verse, very interesting. One is faith. One is belief. One is trust. So as a matter of fact, these three words, are almost saying the same thing. If a spiritual faith, I'm not talking about a faith about it, you know, when you drive the car going to work, when you turn on the engine will kick, and you're going to drive smooth, and nobody going to hit you, nobody going to cut your road. No, that's not the faith we talk about. This spiritual faith, right, have a target. It's God. And there is a belief. Belief in knowledge. The things you learn about God. The wisdom from your learning. And you kind of bung it together, right? You are within it. And there's a trust. There's a delivering. There's a committing. And there is the consequence of committing. It's a resting. And that's all about faith, spiritual faith. And it's kind of different than what we are really generally talk about. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Do you trust yourself? Right? It's a little bit different from the God's angle. So we talk about this faith, right? It's a communication verbally, divinely, to talk to the God. It's very important. And sometimes, because it's so important, there are so many different interpretations from different apostles. And here is from the author of the Hebrew. It talks about a faith, right? It's really a substantiate. It's really a concrete to him. Right? And it's really a demonstration. So basically is that what you are hopeful there, right? It's kind of like you already attempt it. You already have it. Even you are not having it. But you already have it. And that's the spiritual faith, right, we're talking about. You already have it, but you have not got it. Pretty interesting, right? But that's how the Bible says, you already have it, but as a matter of fact, you hasn't really got it yet. And that's the faith. It's contradicting all the time, and he has the room to grow, and he also got the room to decline. And that's the faith. So, if you have the Bible, you can turn to the Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to concentrate on the father only, and we'll cover up later about a woman later. So we're going to have the passage from 40 to 42, then we'll start from 49 to the end. So the setting is very easy. When Jesus went all the way to the side of the lake and, you know, helping to driven out that demon, and he was not really welcome at all, so people want him to leave. So they get on the boat with the disciple and travel back to the town. And the environment are totally different. One is really, we want you out. And the other is so expecting, right, he to arrive. So there's a huge of a crowd, right? It's really waiting there, right, to greet him. And so that's the setting. So when Jesus returned, right, crowd is really welcoming, for they are all expecting him. And then there's a man. His name is Jairus. A synagogue leader came and fell at Jesus' feet. And he's pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, who is really 12 years old, were dying. And so Jesus, right, agreed and, you know, walked or tried to press in through the crowd and go into his home. And there's an interruption happened, and then we'll jump continue. When Jesus was still speaking, right, there is a new arrived, which is not good at all. and basis, right? The servants say, your daughter is dead. And say, don't even bother Jesus again. Here, it's really useless. And then that's the verse, right? The hymn I extracted out, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. So when he arrived at the house, and he did not let anybody go in except the three disciples and the parents, then the story continued. Basically say that all the people were crying over there. We will talk about it a little more, and they are crying. And Jesus says something, right? It's really interesting. He says, stop crying. And because the daughter here is just sleeping, it's really not dead. And the people were really laughing at him because they knew, right? The daughter already dead. And Jesus just raised the hand and holding the daughter's hand and say, wake up, get up. And then the daughter just stand up and living well and have the energy to eat. So this is a very familiar story. We have learned it during our, you know, Sunday school. So we're going to use this right to talk about today. So we're going to discuss this, right, from the three angles. We're going to define as a spiritual faith. And we're going to say there's a three particular emphasis here. Number one is sustaining, committing, and receiving. So there's a three stages. We'll say committing, sustaining, and receiving. So this is going to be the three angle, right? We're going to look at this verses. So first, we're going to talk about committing. Number one, the Jairus. He's a male. He is a very respectful in the community and in the religious rank because he's a leader of the synagogue. Synagogue at that time, right, is basic because the Israelite was not really faithful. And so God kept calling back to return to be faithfulness, but they just won't listen. So in the end, the penalty came and all the country got destroyed and they got exposed to be a slave carried out to the Babylon. And later they returned, but they still repeat the same role. So all the sudden, right, all of them just disappeared and overconquered later on by the Roman Empire. So during that time, they don't have a temple at all, so they kind of form a small community. As long as they got 10 male, then they can form a community, right, to do this the religious worship to God. So generally, the people who become the leader is really a well-respect and a high status, right, in a social community. And he's leading this religious activity. So he also very prestigious, right, in the religious form. So basically, he was successful. And he came with an attitude, right, very humble attitude. It doesn't matter what his status, how successful he is. He came and just fell in front of Jesus, right? And very humbly, right? And also very desperately. So he had a need. A need is not for himself alone. It's more like obligation he needed to carry. He had a daughter around 12 years old and would die. We don't know whether he had tried to see all the physicians or not, but we assume yes, because later he can say that his house is really crowded with people. But now, as a last resort, he came to Jesus, and it seems like his faith right now, right? We don't know what his belief in Jesus. But now, at this moment, he committed himself, right, to Jesus alone. At this moment, he totally, right, forget about whatever his own status, whatever he's really successful or not. He's only know Jesus, only Jesus can help him. And he is betting, right, asking Jesus to come and heal his daughter so his daughter can have a future. So this is a spiritual faith, right, of a father committing. And sometimes this committing, right, is not whether he got a dignity or not. It's he need to find a way to provide the best for his daughter, regardless whatever going to happen. So that is faith, committed, right? There's no yourself. There's only one end, and only one can help, and that's Jesus. It's almost similar. Quite interesting is that in the Bible alone, right, in the different gospel, there's also another father like that. In John, probably chapter 4, there's also an official came all the way chasing Jesus down. And he had almost a similar problem, but he had a son who was dying. And one of the things is that Jesus, right, was not really through a very good comment there. He said, unless you people see the signs and wonder, you will never believe. That's what we're talking about, right? Faith, belief, and trust. But somehow Jesus said that. People is very fragile. People at some time, right, exist unless I see with my own eye. I touch with my own hand. Otherwise, I won't believe. But there's so many things, right? We cannot really experience it ourselves. And that's the beauty of the faith. Sometimes, you don't really need to see it. Really, no need to experience it. You knew it's true. And that's the faith, right, we are talking about. But nevertheless, right, God do care. Jesus, even he say that, right? He still healed the boy remotely. But in this case, right, he need to go and physically, right, touch this daughter. And so next step, right, we're going to talk about this sustaining. So faith we talk about is committing, right? Committing is good, right? Sometimes even ourselves, we not go into that particular stage. We don't commit ourselves. We are thinking about, okay, we're going to pray to God, but the other hand, we are doing the other thing, preparation, in case. But when Jesus was doing there, right, he tried to go through the crowd because it's really surrounding, right? Everybody tried to get the knee from Jesus. And it's crushing him. So it's very slow moving. And thinking about the father, how would he feel? And it's getting worse because there's another woman really have a knee. And this woman is not as good as Jairus. She's kind of very, you know, desolate because she got a problem, have an illness, and he spent all the resource, right, to try to get better, but somehow it failed. So she just tried to touch with a superstition. She thought that if I touch the clock, the edge of the clock of the Jesus, she will be healed. And somehow Jesus honored the faith of that. But he also did some demanding, want this woman to come up, volunteer to do the witness. But during this delay, right, when Jesus tried to deal with this particular event, right, somehow the message arrived, a really bad one. Now, what he tried to hope for, the goal, why he came to Jesus, right, is totally, is really unnecessary. Seems like no need anymore, at least from the viewpoint of the messenger. You don't have to bother Jesus anymore, because it's already in. But God don't perform in that way. God really have a comfort and a compassion heart. It's kind of like we show about this in chapter 7. Pastor Philip talked about the son of the widow died, and Jesus really had compassion at that time and said, don't cry. So it's the same thing, right? Jesus here is really sustaining this faith. Even it's already useless, hopeless, right? It's an end to other people's eye. But Jesus makes this claim, and this claim is so drastically. He said, don't afraid. Only believe, and she will be healed. How can it be possible? How can you not afraid? How can you keep on believing? Because all the things right in front of you are really tumbling down. Really tumbling down. Crashing. But Jesus said this. Don't be afraid. He don't want you to shake. He wants you still remembering that committing faith. He wants you still grasp on. Not the environment, not the whatever happening in front of you, how difficult it is. No. Not in the eye of God. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Interesting, right? But that's the sustaining power of the faith. Your faith. God really appreciate that one. And then we will talk about receiving faith. So, Jesus, right, just go with him because that was the original request, right? And he also take a son, his disciple, just three, because the house is not probably not big, and definitely it's the parents. But in there, right, there's still some obstacle. Somehow, right, Jairus' faith, right, is not his relative or those people who care about his daughter. They don't share the same faith. They kind of preparing the end time. So people are starting to cry. At that time, particularly, this not the ordinary cry. Maybe there's some people really hired to cry for this particular moment. So there's some people already expecting it and prepared it, right? And Jesus make a comment really offensive to them at that time. He says, stop crying. She's just asleep. And people was really, originally they were really crying. And all of a sudden, they change. And they're laughing. Laughing at Jesus. Because they knew better. They knew that the daughter already dead. So, sometime, right, even you have the committing faith, even you have the sustaining faith, right, people will laugh at you. Only you know what is really in need. But all the other people, no matter whether they are the believer, they are the fan of the Jesus, maybe they are blocker, they became a whipper, right? Or they mocker. They're really laughing at you. Why are you still believing God after he already done this to you? Have you ever been challenged like that? If not, he's a God bless, but you have to prepare. It's going to come. The stronger your faith is, the stronger the opposition will be. It's kind of like polishing. Kind of like you purify the gold, right? You want the 99.9% to the 100%, right? You have to keep purifying through the furnace. The fire will go out. But that is truly worthy. Because later, right, you can really see, really experience, right, the awarding of your faith. For this case, right, Jesus makes it so unusual. He just hold the hands out and raise the daughter from death. So you can imagine the parents. Parents say, what? What? How could it be possible? Even the parents. Right? And Jesus just orders, say, get something for her to eat. So this is a faith of the father to show he's definitely, right, really committing to Jesus. But situation get worse, right? So bad. And all the people surrendered. But Jesus himself came to sustaining the faith. And in the end, right, when he's really in doubt, in fear, and God, Jesus himself, showed this power only for them. So this is the spiritual faith we're talking about, committed to Jesus, sustained by Jesus, and receiving from Jesus. So, is this easy? I guess it's depending. But I do understand, right, at different occasion, if you hold on the faith, according to the Bible, even it's as small as cinnabar seed, it will really grow. I would like to share a testimony with you. A basics, right, a couple years back, there's a brother. He was really successful to some extent. Inside his heart, he always thinking about it, maybe he should come out to serve God, or he should stay in the world and to witness God. And somehow he was struggle in between. But he still hold on because he was not clear. But he was tried to be the best a father could be, take care of his family, also hold on his position in the world to be a good witness. So he's really put his effort in. One day, while he was really holding a meeting, a big meeting, right? Lots of director, manager, city manager, and lots of staff there. And somehow in the end, he feel he's weak. So he kind of walk along, and later there's a brother say, hey, how's up? What's up? And he say, no, I'm not feeling good right now. So in the end, they find out, right, say he is going to have a heart attack. But God sent a different way message to him is that his supervisor was also a brother, wrapped up the meeting for him and came to his office and look at them, right? The two brothers, one is praying, and this brother just took up the phone and dialed 911 directly. And the brother who had the heart attack, he really grabbed on the other brother who found out and say, please, don't talk anymore. I really felt that I cannot make it right now. Could you please lay your hand on me and pray for me? That's what he said. And originally, right, the other brother is kind of arguing for what to take care of, but at that moment, right, they all knelt down and put their hand, right, and pray for this brother to survive. So later the ambulance came, and then the Medicaid, the nurse keep asking him, are you feeling better? Because they give him the particular pill that can, you know, revive to loose up so he can relax and won't grip on the heart attack. And along the, he shared this. He said, along the ambulance ride to the hospital, to the emergency room, all he had one thought. Be merciful, God. Be merciful, God. He put his faith, right, in God alone. He's thinking about lots of things, right? In the end, he only had one thing, right? God, be merciful. Be merciful. I won't worry about everything, but this is the committing faith, right? He's talking about. So if you go really share with other brother and sister, you will know there's a lot of people really have this committing faith in their life. They generally don't dig up, but that is something right inside their heart. There is something important. They did commit themselves to God. But along the way, right, maybe just the outsider really somehow crushing or smearing the faith. But we should allow the God to sustain in this faith and so make it really a warding, receiving one. And that's the faith we're talking about. And that's the faith, right, particularly valuable in the Father's days. You want to bring the good foundation to the kids and bring it up and to share all the people around you. And that's the value of a true faith. Let's bow our head and do the close of prayer. Dear Father in the heaven, we truly value you a lot because we've been through a lot. And we know you care and love us a lot. But through all this, you know, involved in the world, sometimes we lost ourselves. Sometimes we forget about the faith we committed ourselves to you. So at this particular day, please come in and helping us out, sustaining it or reviving the faith original you provide to us. So let us really rule on it and have a stronger faith from now on. All this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.